ESPN 1000, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio.
This is Carmen and Yurko on WMPP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
Sit tight around the phones. We're going to get to you. It's Carmen and Yurko. Sylvie's in for Yurk. Yurko and Hoodie are going to be doing Waddle and Sylvie. So we'll cross talk in an hour. Spring trading. Maybe just to mix it up. Get nuts for every Wednesday in May. But it's good to be back with my man Sylvie. We'll take some more calls.
And don't forget Crosstalk Unhinged, too, when we're together. Like, it's so good to be crosstalking with you guys every day now. We miss that so much. I think the fans missed it so much. Yes. And now you also get this 30-minute standalone, original, uncensored podcast on the ESPN Chicago app and wherever you get your pods. Blue Chew backs it. Yeah, they've claimed it. They've put their flag in the ground, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing it tomorrow? Or are we doing Friday? What are we doing?
Well, Waddle's not here. I can do either. So, I mean, let's do Friday.
You could dial up. Is Waddle going to be here Friday?
Are you unavailable on Friday?
No, I think we could do it. Let's do it
Friday.
All right, we'll do it live. We'll do it Friday.
Be 11 after you do Eyes Couple?
Yeah, exactly. We'll tape it after we record Eyes Couple.
Long day of...
That's okay.
But it's
all good.
A lot of people love it.
People do. I hear on the street all the time how much guys like it. Guys and girls.
Because all these years being on, we've never done a pod like that.
No, we weren't.
Where we could be more natural.
It's fun. I love it. You said something going into the break. I feel like I might owe Jimmy. I don't know if this is a mea culpa. I don't think that's it. But I think I said something the other day. And I can admit if I'm wrong, or I think I might have said something that I don't agree even with myself. And maybe I'm living too much in the moment because I was watching Jimmy in that game last night. What he did in the second half was great. I don't know what Spoelstra and Jimmy said at halftime, but they got the message loud and clear. I mean, that third quarter, the way they came out and played the first 5-6 minutes was like, okay, we're not messing around anymore. We're going to show you why we're a great defensive team. You talk about the old analogy of getting punched in the face and not having a response. I don't think Boston knew what the hell to do. And not having Marcus hurts them because they don't have ball handlers. You know, and without Marcus, I think that hurts. But, like, it was so impressive.
And, of course, Horford's been really good in the
postseason. Horford's been good, too. But I think the Marcus Smart thing's the harder injury for them to overcome. Horford's not an injury. It's COVID. He should be back for the next game, right?
No, I think game three. I think they ruled him out through the first two games.
Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. I
read that yesterday.
But that's a COVID thing. Like, the Smart injury hurts them. I mean, it does. As annoying as he can be. But, you know, as you just said, you're like, when do we stop with – what Jimmy isn't.
I feel can I say the word?
You go ahead. I'll tell you what I said.
And maybe this is the conversation I'm referencing. They're in Chicago, and I feel like sometimes when we watch a guy so much, we're either overly loving of him or overly critical of them because we're like, we see the faults. Like a lot of people in town think Donovan Mitchell is great.
Right.
Because they'll catch the highlight.
Good call.
They'll catch the glimpse. They'll catch a rare late night Utah Jazz game when he scores 37. They're like, Donovan Mitchell is awesome.
Good point.
But you don't watch all the warts. And you just like with Zach. Why are we scared to call him a superstar? Why are we scared to call Jimmy Butler when a guy scores 41 in a Eastern Conference Finals and has consistently so far in this postseason been the best player in each series he's been in? When does he get the label?
This is fair. And like, this is for someone like me who's kind of pushed back on that a little because everything to me with Jimmy is always, we know Jimmy's great defensively. Don't get me wrong. We don't have to spend any time on his defense. Offense to me I use the term laborious to describe Jimmy on offense. And I've just always wondered, like, can you really be a team's best player and win 16 postseason games when everything is kind of like a slow, methodical grind? He's not a three-point shooter, never has been, never will be. I have been impressed with Jimmy offensively in these playoffs. I have been. You're right.
He could cut you in many different ways.
And he's doing it right now. So it is a fair point that you make. And I said the other day, I'm like, you know, as much as I appreciate Jimmy, he's a terrific player, he's not a top 10 player. I was thinking last night, could I really make my top 10 NBA list right now and not have Jimmy Butler on it?
How could you not? How could you not?
You're right.
He took a team to the NBA Finals as their, like, people said you can't win with him as your the best player. Now he's supported well. The Heat culture is a real deal. But again, this is a guy dropping 40-point games in the NBA playoffs. This is a guy who's as good of a two-way player the league has.
He's very good.
He is, like, don't you think he's got a game that is a poor man's LeBron? Now,
very poor, but...
Well, wait a minute, though. I mean, he's very strong. He may not be the best shooter on the court. He could get to the hoop. He could get to the line. He could knock down the three. He could take you in the post. You know, he could over... He's strong. He's as strong as anybody. He could defend.
I don't know. I think that's a little...
And like everyone...
I might push back on that.
And everyone who says that Jimmy's a lot... And I call him Jimmy Diva from time to time.
And he still is.
Who's not the diva?
Yeah, you think LeBron's not?
Is KD a diva?
Yes.
Is Kyrie a diva?
You know, Luka. I got news for you. Luka's a diva.
They're all divas.
Luka doesn't sound like he's too easy to get along with.
Now, who's not a diva?
Giannis.
Yes. And Jalen Brunson.
Okay. All right. But I think you're right, Sylvie, because I honestly, like, at the end of the night last night, I'm like, I don't know if I should be saying that about Jimmy, because maybe he is, in no particular order. I do think there are some guys, and I think we'd all agree. You guys can stop me if you say
is
no.
This is current.
Right now, Giannis, KD, Embiid, Joker, Luka, LeBron, Steph. After that, you get into, like, the Mitchells, the Chris Paul. And I'm not talking about playoff failures and all that. Just, like, who's a great player. You get into the Bookers, Mitchells, Chris Pauls. Who else did I write down?
I mean,
Trae Young.
Look at what Jimmy's done compared to Chris Paul here.
I think he's probably ahead of all those guys. I don't think I could make a top 10 list that doesn't have Jimmy towards the back end of it.
In this Butler love fest, are we just putting to the side last season when the Heat were swept out by the Bucks and Butler went 17, 10, 12, and 17?
Dwayne Wade in his prime got swept by the Bulls.
The comment about Chris Paul was just said, right? Sylvie, you just said that? Or it was said
Jimmy's a better player than Chris Paul.
Sylvie said.
This year, but last year, Chris Paul was
We're talking about current ranking.
But that's why Butler's in the category of the guys who could occasionally win you a series, but he's not a superstar.
Well, I mean, he's been their best player, though. He could go to two NBA finals in 3 years. But like Dwayne Wade, I called a superstar. Dwayne Wade and Shaq, the year after they won the title.
They lost to the Bulls.
Got swept by Kirk Heinrich and Ben Wallace.
Yeah.
They got swept.
By Kirk Heinrich and Ben Wallace.
I wouldn't put Butler in the superstar category.
LeBron didn't make the play-in tournament.
Chris, would you... But can we do a top 10 list without Jimmy?
And you're taking the full season, or are we just...
Are we just looking at this moment right now because he's playing in the Eastern Conference Finals? In the NBA right now, I'd have Giannis, KD, Embiid, Joker, Luka, Steph, LeBron. I'd probably have Kyrie still, as much of a pain in the ass as he is.
If we were building a team for the future, I would imagine teams would select a lot of players over Butler. Like, Jason Tatum would be off the board before Butler.
That's an interesting one.
That's a good one.
I didn't even put him in there. I mean, Jimmy kind of slapped him around in the ass today.
Absolutely.
You're talking about first round exits. Kyrie and KD got kicked out of.
No doubt.
LeBron didn't make it. KD and Kyrie got kicked out of the first round. Like, I just think that if another player who had a bigger name that we didn't know as well, because this has been a town who has not given Jimmy. Like, I used to argue with Friedel and Waddle all the time. Who says, why should you put a ceiling on what he can be? Because he continues to get better. And he didn't come in with a high profile of being a four-year player at Marquette and a defensive player. If Devin Booker was putting up the same numbers as Jimmy, Devin Booker would be considered a top five, top seven player. But because it's Jimmy, people don't like that name brand. He doesn't have the shoe. He doesn't have, you know, the popularity and maybe not as pretty as some of the others. But he cuts you up.
He's having a great playoffs. It's some of the best I've seen him play. I have to admit that. You talk about warts. Even very, very good to great players still have some warts. And there are still some things that I don't know that I'll ever totally like about Jimmy's game. Certainly there's some attitude things that you don't like.
Like think about what we used to think about James Harden. We used to put him in. Jimmy's way better than James Harden now.
Right now.
Right. But what did James Harden ever win?
Bupkis. Jimmy hasn't won yet either. Let's remember that. But Taylor wants to talk about Jimmy. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's
I love
Taylor?
This mix-up. I feel like I have the two best basketball guys on one show.
You got Black, you got Sylvie. That's all you need.
Well, no. Two, I would say, look, Black's last comment, I got to discount his comments on basketball. As he always knows, I call and say that. But I still love the guy.
Is Zach in the superstar conversation? Is that what we're doing here?
Let's just say this. Jimmy Butler is a superstar. Jimmy Buckets, playoff B, is a superstar in this league in the NBA. He gives hard effort, plays defense, steals, blocks Tatum's jump shot, scores 41, the fifth time scoring 40 this playoff series. They have a number one record in the NBA, and you tell me he's not a superstar? This guy in 2019 in the bubble led his team, a young team, the same team but very young, to the NBA Finals. He had a 40-point triple-double, a 35-point triple-double, had 23 points in game one and shot 67% in that game. You mean to tell me he's not a superstar? This is crazy. This guy is a 1A player in this league because he gives effort on both ends of the floor. Name how many guys can do that on both ends of the floor without a three-point jump shot and still be efficient.
Yeah,
they're not. You can name Kawhi, possibly. You can name Giannis.
Kawhi.
LeBron.
Maybe
LeBron
Tatum
when he wants to.
Yeah, LeBron when he wants to.
LeBron, Tatum, maybe. He's a top five two-way player in this, which makes him a superstar. Yeah. If you're going to call Dame Lillard a superstar, which they have the same number of all-star appearances, you got to call Jimmy Buckets, playoff B, a superstar in this league. Right, he has to get his flowers. And I know all the Bulls fans saying he wasn't a 1A player and he can't win with him being your lead superstar. He's showing you that right now. You put the right pieces around him, shooters, a defensive big. He's going to win the first Larry Bird Award for the best Eastern Conference player in the playoffs if they win this series. And I had them win this series in six games.
All right.
So I don't want to hear this, not a superstar anymore. I mean, that's crazy talk.
All right, Taylor. Thanks for calling.
So for the superstars, what's the list? 15 players?
I
view it as like the top echelon of the best players. So I'm looking at five, maybe six at tops for superstars. Everyone else are stars, all-stars, really good players. There's no knocking the game. But Jimmy Butler is different than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Of course.
No offense, Taylor. He's different.
I guess it depends on like your definition, how many numbers you want to get to. I think Chris makes a fair point.
If Jimmy was a quarterback, I like playing this game we were doing it with Zach. Would Jimmy be Ben Roethlisberger, who was never the best athlete? Like he was still mobile and he's strong. But he like, you know, there was always guys ahead of Ben. He was never considered the top, but he won. Now he's got the titles that Jimmy doesn't have, but he just year in and year out, they win because of Jimmy. A title contender is winning because of Jimmy. He's been the best player in two series so far.
I can't argue that this is the best I've seen him play. This is the best playoffs he's ever had. Maybe we could look at the competition and be like Atlanta and Philly without Embiid, really, or for two games.
What did Giannis beat last year?
We could nitpick. Yeah, it's fair.
Did Giannis beat in the Eastern Conference Finals?
They beat, I don't even remember, Boston?
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta, that's right. Duh.
So, I mean,
Atlanta.
We like to downgrade guys that we have fit in a box. Jimmy's been in this box for a long time of a nice player, an improving player, but no one has ever wanted to give him his true due, in my opinion. And I want to, can I ask you a question about winning a trade that I think is a hard answer to give.
All right, we'll go. You can throw that at us coming up next. We'll get back out to your calls, too. I know people still want to talk Sox. Stay tight. We'll get everybody in. We have no guests, so we'll take your calls. 312-332-ESPN. We'll be right back.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, so what was the question you wanted to ask? Sylvie's in for Yurko. Carmen and Sylvie together.
guys on Twitch were debating this. Someone was tweeting me yesterday about it, like that the Bulls lost the Jimmy trade, that there's no doubt about it, was the take. And my question is, don't we always judge trades? I'm not telling you they won the trade, because the guy always pitched Jimmy and the kids. That was my thing. Like, keep Jimmy. He's a known quantity, and draft as many young kids. And then by the time they got to this point, I sort of understood what they were doing. I always wanted them to keep Jimmy, but if they got rid of him, I thought that was the time. So the question was posed, who won the Jimmy trade? How would you answer that?
I mean, Jimmy's been on three teams since that trade was made.
Do you know how many games Jimmy played? So, like, isn't it usually like when the Cubs and Sox made a trade for Quintana and it's Cease and Aloy as the return? Who won that trade?
The White Sox.
Of course they did. Right? So it's usually between the two teams.
Right.
Who won it? Was it the Cubs or was it the White Sox? Sometimes there are no winners. Maybe this is one of them. Do you know how many games Jimmy played for Minnesota?
I'm going to guess 110.
Try 69. Nice.
Boy, how serendipitous.
So he played in that, 69 games. He got them to their first postseason in a long time.
Right.
And then it was like 10 games in or something like that into the next year. Remember the whole Rachel Nichols thing? I want my max. They didn't want to max him yet.
Yeah.
They wanted to wait. And he's like, if you're not going to give it to me, I'm going to act the fool and completely fight with everybody. And then he won and he went to the Sixers. So did the Timberwolves, who got 69 games, nice. Their coach got fired.
Yes.
They went into another rebuild.
And they're finally seeing some fruits of that labor.
Okay. Did they win the trade? Or did the Bulls, who now have a player who could be a max guy entering the prime of his career, and while Lowry didn't turn out, the Bulls got a first-round pick for Lowry.
Yes, they did.
And Chris Dunn was a bust, and he broke his face while he was trying to dunk a basketball.
Poor Chris Dunn.
I'm saying it's more nuanced than saying, maybe you just say neither team won. There was no winner in the Jimmy Butler trade.
It's also why I think the Bulls can't just let Zach walk away for nothing, because he is the last remnants they have from that trade. Lowry didn't pan out, and while I think Zach has plenty of warts, I like him, and I think he's a flawed player. He's like, you've made the argument perfectly well. Like, it'd be a bad look if you let him go if he walked away for nothing.
No, you can't do that.
And I don't think they will. And everything they've said leads you to believe that they continue to want Zach, even though there are some questions that we all have about Zach being the best player on a true championship contending team. I think the answer is the Bulls, because the way you spelled it out, Jimmy's on his third
team.
Guys
get better. It's valid to say we wanted more from Zach in the postseason. Want to see more, but again, we said it with Jimmy. Jimmy can't do this, and Jimmy can't do this. Remember, the Bulls wanted to pay him $44 million 1 year. He wanted $50. They couldn't come up with that compromise. They had to pay him more. You know, Zach, it looked like the $80 million deal was too much.
Mm-hmm.
He outplayed it. It's what you're paying for in the future. And can Zach continue to get better? Mm-hmm. And even if in 2 years from now he's sitting there and he's not, I still think with what he can do, a team would trade for him.
Yeah, that could be, because Zach can shoot threes and he's athletic. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Unless he's completely hurt.
Well, that would suck.
Who's the better team right now?
Bulls or T-Wolves?
The Timberwolves are.
Well, the Timberwolves
they're very similar, but the Timberwolves have higher ceiling players.
They got Ant-Man. I mean, like,
that's a tough one, right?
I don't know. You'd feel pretty good. I think we'd be going nuts if we had Anthony Edwards here. Don't you guys think? Like,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He played well in the postseason.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, like, Towns, I don't know. Go figure.
He's another riddle. He's another enigma.
He is. He's an enigma. Like, I can't. He's skilled as anybody. Skilled to the bejesus. But I don't know about him. But, like, I think we'd all like Anthony Edwards. We'd feel pretty good about that. Marcus is in Minneapolis on ESPN 1000. What's up, Marcus?
Silly, man. You're my guy, man. I love you, Silly. But you're crazy, man. You caught in the moment with Jimmy Butler, man.
God, it's been a long moment. It's been a long moment here with Jimmy.
Okay, let me. I'm talking about him being a top 10 player. He's not a top 10 player. This is the thing. The Bulls had to trade him. And whenever that year was when we traded him, he wouldn't be what he is in Miami. First off, the Bulls didn't have the coach in Miami head, and they didn't have the players. If you don't have the coaching with Jimmy Butler, then you have to have another.
Well, they did have the coach. They had Tibbs. He just wore out his welcome.
They traded him after Tears was gone. Right.
And then they brought in Fred Hoiberg to mesh with Jimmy.
Good luck to you.
And that was a disaster.
Yeah, so did he have a good culture? But Jimmy Butler, he put up 41 points last night. But the thing that separates him from a superstar is he can't do it consistently. He's not going to care. Like, he might have 15 points the next game. That's just Jimmy Butler. Like, he's not a consistent, dominating player like that. You got Kawhi that's injured. I don't think you guys named him your top team.
Yeah, I didn't because I was doing right now and Kawhi didn't play this year. But, Marcus, it's close. It's closer than I thought when I actually went about the task of filling it out. And I'll give you names again, and this is no particular order. It's just names. Giannis, KD, Embiid, Joker, Luka, Steph, LeBron, Tatum, Kyrie, Kawhi. You might want to throw Kyrie out, put Jimmy in. Then you get into Ja, Chris Paul, Trae Young. Jimmy's better than Trae Young. I mean, Trae Young's fun, but come on.
Kawhi's teammate, Paul George. I'm sure most people would put him ahead of
Jimmy
Butler.
It's always the guy I've always compared him to, and I've been like, Paul George is a little bit better, though, because Paul George is a little bit more efficient offensively. He can make threes. Paul George is a little bit better. Gobert, I'm not a Gobert guy, really. Donovan Mitchell, you nailed it.
No, Jimmy.
You can fall in love with Donovan, and offensively you can go, wow, but holy good Lord in heaven, do teams pick on them and him. I mean, that team's such a wicked dysfunction in Utah, too. It's like, it's ridiculous.
And all these teams, though, get worse when Jimmy leaves. Because the last series the Bulls won with Jimmy Butler. The Timberwolves ended their long playoff streak with Jimmy Butler. He leaves. The coach gets fired. They go into a new rebuild. Mm-hmm. The 76ers, their best chance to win, Embiid and Jimmy. They haven't been better with Simmons and now, when he leaves, not only does the new team he's on get better, but the old team certainly gets worse.
A championship would help settle some of this argument for Jimmy. He's got seven more games to go. If he can win seven more. Let's go to, I know people still wanted to talk about the Sox and TA and all that stuff too. The TA Ozzie stuff. In case you missed that yesterday, Ozzie, a relatively innocuous comment. I mean, it was more like, as Sylvie pointed out, I was more against Tony La Russa. He's like, why is TA not playing in the second game?
In today's baseball, you don't need to rest a guy. And it's a night game tonight.
Tonight's a night game.
So it's not like you're playing an afternoon game tomorrow after a doubleheader today.
Right. They play two. It's a night game tonight. Maybe if anything, you sit them in the day game tomorrow on getaway day in Kansas City. That's all Ozzie was saying. And Tim Anderson tweeted, hold on, I'll read you the tweet. He took it down, but he tweeted, Ozzie needs to shut the bleep up sometimes. Talk too much. Freddie's in Reno on ESPN 1000. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing from the West Coast?
What's up, Freddie?
How you doing?
We're doing okay. You know what? I got to do a little simplistic thing. I don't get to say this much often. I'm out here in the West Coast, like I said. So I want to touch a little bit on TA, and I want to touch a little bit on the Bears, if you guys would let me do so.
Go ahead.
All right. You know what? TA, as he tweeted, he's got to, shut the F up. You know what TA's got to do? Is shut the F up and play ball. That's the Chicago way.
Yes.
I come over here at this place called Shenanigans. My boy Paulie's got a Blackhawks golf jersey on from, from Kenosha, Wisconsin. And we all know the ethics of the Midwest. It's like, you let the tables do the talking. You let the bats do the cracking. Bottom line is, if you're not hitting, then don't talk.
He's hitting. I tell him to feel the ball a little bit better, but he's hitting. He can hit.
He's hitting. But you know what? Look at those errors.
TA's a hitting machine, actually. More than I ever thought he would be. I mean, he's a hitting machine.
And I go on YouTube and I saw his documentary and I thought, this kid is a special kid. Came in undersized, underrated, and now look at him blossom. Now that he's got that light on him, I think he's taking it for granted.
But what do you say, Freddie? Don't you think the chip on his shoulder has gotten him to this point, and TA is best with a chip on his shoulder?
Bottom line is, you don't flick off people when you're on the field. You don't sit there and tweet.
I don't know.
That's basically, you're a champion. Not walk yet. Like a champion,
All right, what was your act Bears like thought, Freddie? What was your Bears thought? Go ahead, quick.
My Bears thought is this. Dude, everyone is underestimating them. Everyone on ESPN Chicago is saying,
rightfully so.
Four. Dude, I give them 8 wins. I think that Aquan Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
I think he will be the device because he knows Coach Eves. I think Roquan is paired with this guy named Ron Morrow from the Raiders out here. And out here, they are so pissed off that he went to the Bears.
Nick Morrow, and isn't it?
Yeah, yes, yes. And they're so pissed off out here that he went over there.
All right.
And already, Roquan Smith does not meet anybody when they come to the Bears. He personally went to go welcome him. He doesn't do that for Chump. He knows exactly what he has. That linebacker field is going to be sick.
All right. Sick. Freddie, thank you very much.
Call back at the end of the season.
Not we'll everybody's down. Abdallah bet the over. Black thinks he'll maybe very optimistic, to 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not as optimistic.
I wouldn't pick them for that. But look, if they do, that means Fields is playing great.
That would be awesome.
I would think so.
That'd be the best thing for us.
They've got games in a lot of games against teams in their category. The Jets, the Giants, the Texans, the Falcons are all sort of those teams. Plus the Lions twice.
Yep.
So look, if they make hay against those teams also in their sort of rebuild area, maybe they can.
I see. It's Carmen and Yurko. Sylvie's in for Yurko. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Let's breeze through some more calls here. Talking White Sox, Jimmy Butler, the playoffs. The Heat just absolutely, to say dominated is like, I don't know. They took Boston's soul in the second half.
Yeah, they clamped. They clamped down on them. They put their head in a vice.
Now, Boston, yeah, like in Casino.
Yes.
They put Tony Dogs' head in the vice. Dogs,
yeah.
I'm going to pop your eyeball out.
That's what they did.
Now, I think Boston's good enough and determined enough to kind of get it back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Boy, Ime Udoka, I wouldn't want to mess with him.
I wonder what
his shelf life is going to be like, because he rides them hard. He's got some tibs in him.
Before they got Billy Donovan, the Bulls were very interested in him.
He's
a good coach, though.
He is constantly pushing.
Yes.
And then there's Grant Williams, who, you know, Bleck and I were joking before the show. You know, I was going to tell Bleck to pull it, but it's more visual. Like, you know things are going bad when Grant Williams, and maybe he's only doing it because he's mic'd up, but something tells me this is Grant Williams all the time. He was mic'd up last night. They showed coming in, maybe in the fourth quarter, they played it, and like, he's barking orders. He's the, you know, and most of the team's looking out in the stands. I think I would be too. I'm like, I know you had 27 last game, but you're Grant Williams.
It didn't. Mark Jackson said, I think they were talking about, like, he's the guy who's always talking.
Never stops.
And he annoys a ton of people.
I would think so.
But they love him in the big picture.
Probably. But yeah, you know, it was more visual. But if you could have seen the reaction from the players, like, oh, he just won't shut up. That's what it seemed like. Grant, you're not firing anybody up. It ain't working. Let's go to Justin in Joliet. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man.
Hey, just a quick thing. Maybe Rick Hahn can pull a little magic out the hat, try getting Xander Bogaerts. I know this is his last year on the contract, so we're really not buying into anything huge. I mean, we might have to give up a little bit, but even Devers, I know he's third base, but I would like to see somebody in the infield or a little better. It's TA over at second.
Yeah, Bogaerts is like a hot name to follow. Justin, thanks. I can't see that happening because he is. Is it who's up for the extension? It's not Bogaerts.
He was a free agent.
Is Bogaerts a free agent?
And is Boston still struggling too? Are they still in last?
They're terrible. I think
Baltimore might have fallen behind them.
But they're 13.5 out of first, I think.
I don't know that he's a free agent, Bogaerts. I'd have to double check that. I feel like two years ago, there's this thing called Google. He signed an extension. Devers can't be up already, can he? No way. He's too young. Is it Devers or Bogaerts that they're talking about? They're having trouble extending one of them. I don't know. I'm not totally tuned into the Boston situation. I like Xander Bogaerts. They went down this road and they got eviscerated for it with getting rid of Mookie. Could they really afford to let Devers or Bogaerts get away here?
Bogaerts is a vesting free agent option in 2026. He's under contract for $20 million the next three seasons.
So, yeah, I didn't think he was a free agent.
Devers won't qualify for free agency until 2023, so it's next year.
So it's Devers that they've got. That's the one they're close from because they haven't reached an agreement. He's going to be arbitration eligible again, and then Devers is going to become the free agent. Bogaerts got an extension a couple of years ago.
And then, you know, they're doing all these. This is different, right? They're doing the arbitrations in season. Yeah,
don't
it's crazy. Isn't it because of the lockout?
The lockout. They got to go argue against Giolito in the season.
Well, same thing with Contreras is having a good year, and they're going to talk down about what he should make.
You heard the stat yesterday, and I was complimenting D-Row, because I love Mark DeRosa, and I know he comes out.
Yeah.
He's so freaking good.
He's a good dude.
He's so good on TV.
He was our weekly at one time when he was on the 07 Cubs.
We're trying to get him on again. That show's great, MLB, all the stuff he does on MLB Network. You know, Contreras is second in baseball in hard hit percentage behind Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I know that because of you.
Wow. He's having a year.
I'm a P1, you know.
Yes, you are. Let's go to Joey in Warrenville. What up, Joey?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I just want to chime in about Jimmy Butler. Yeah. Like, it drive me crazy. Whoever just called and was like, he's not a top 10 player. And then people, how they just continuously not give him this credit. I get it. They probably have a little sour taste in their mouth because he left Chicago. But, like, don't we judge players before, like, we call them greatest? How do they do in the playoffs? Like, yeah, Jimmy Butler does pretty damn well in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, he shows how great he is. Like, look at this playoffs. Look at last year's. He's pretty decent. And
he
then
stunk last year, 2 years ago in the bubble. Oh, yeah, yeah. Last year, he stunk.
He's carrying this team to what possibly could be the finals. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. Imagine if LeBron were to do it with this team. Don't get me wrong. Tyler Hero is great. P.J. Tucker is old. He's slow. He plays great defense, 3-and-D
yes,
guy.
He does.
But then Kyle Lowry's like 37 years old, not even playing. If LeBron were to be doing this with this Heat team, just this Heat team, not the D-Wade Heat team, people would be all over LeBron, how great he is. And oh, my God. It'd be amazing. So I don't get why people can say this about Jimmy. And then also, for the trade-wise, who won the trade, Bulls or Timberwolves? Obviously, the Bulls won it because LaVine is still on the Bulls technically right now. Jimmy. And an all-star. And we got Lauri Markkanen, who we traded for a first-round pick, I'm pretty sure, this year or next year, one of the
two. That's
teams,
all I'm saying.
He's on his third team, yeah.
All I'm saying to the people, my point is, I don't know if the Bulls truly won anything, but the Bulls, I don't think, if you're comparing the T-Wolves and the Bulls, I don't think you could say the Bulls lost that trade.
I don't think he can either. Again, 69 games, he's on his third team. I don't think he can. But when you've got Jimmy and Bam and PJ Tucker on the floor together, like, your defense is good.
Got some dogs.
You got some the good dogs.
Yeah.
Not the bad dogs.
No, right.
The
yeah.
good dogs.
Who play defense. Like, and PJ Tucker was key for the Bucks last year. When they gave him more of an attitude.
They got some dogs. That's how you got to say it so people know
they got
which
some
one you
dogs.
Mean. Yeah. Because like when you.
Oh, there's Van Pelt.
Hey, Scotty Van Pelt. What's up, buddy? When you have. That's perfect.
Wasn't that good? If I would have taken a picture, I would have tweeted it to him and. They could have showed that on, because they'll show it on his show, the lookalikes.
That was awesome.
What do they call it?
I don't know, but that was awesome. It looked just like him. Yeah, when you say, like, if you want to criticize a guy, be like, he's a dog. He's a dog. But when a guy, the good dog is, he's got some dog in
him. He's got some dog in him.
And Jimmy's got some dog in him. He can be a pain in the ass, but he's got some dog in him. And Bam's got some dog in him. And they can really guard when those three are on the floor. Let's go to. Where do you want to go?
Go to Big John.
I haven't heard from Big John in a while either.
If it's the same guy, I don't know.
Of course it is.
Yes,
one Big
it
John.
Is my brothers. This is Big John.
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
I'm doing real well. And you guys know I am a true White Sox fan. Absolutely. Last year, we waited for this team to come around. We're waiting this year. And all I hear about is ripping Tony La Russa down. Let's just make a little observation here. I know you guys, just listen to that. Let's take the New York Yankees. What are they, about 9 games better than the Sox right now?
Maybe more than that.
Okay. Let's just look at it like this. Yankees lose their left fielder, their center fielder, their third baseman, their first starting pitcher, their second starting pitcher, and let's go into this. Their catcher is hitting under 150. Their first baseman is hitting about 160. You've got a right fielder who cannot hit that plays the field very well. You got A.J. Pollock, who looks lost out there, and the bullpen's blowing games left and right, and everybody is calling for Tony La Russa's head. Right now, if you look at the White Sox, are they 18-18 or 19-19? If you gave this to any other team in baseball, do you think any other team might be 500 right now with all...
Well, if said team had Dylan Cease taking the next step and Michael Kopech filling into the starting rotation pretty well, you know?
Good.
I mean, Tony. It's just like last year, people wanted to hold my feet to the flame saying, give Tony credit. Tony wasn't a good manager last year.
Too many technical decisions that are not.
You know what? They're 18-18. What, 18-18 and 19-19?
They're 18-18.
Okay. Well, look at what other team can go through what the White Sox have gone through. I mean, first and second starter. Look, I mean, you guys, I know maybe people don't like Tony La Russa. La Russa's maybe a little bit behind in the game.
Not first and second starter.
Tony La Russa cannot control four guys on a lineup that look completely lost with swinging the bat. And he cannot control the relievers who can't throw a strike over the plate.
There's only one guy you're missing offensively right now. You're missing Aloy. Who else are we missing offensively?
Well, at the beginning of the year, they started out without Roberts. Right, they started out with Eloy. They started out without Makata. Then you started out without Lynn. You started out with Giolito. And then you've got how many guys are just
Johnny,
not
we're making too
hit the ball?
Too many convenience uses. By the way, the Yankees catcher is hitting .160, so remember that. Higashioka hits about .160.
A lot of guys are hitting .160 for you. Some reason these days.
Boy, Judge. Is he playing for that? Now, that's the guy who's up for the contract. Is he unbelievable. I mean, just.
You mentioned like the Cubs. Was it you or was it Cap and Hoodie who were talking about the Cubs signing him? They should be in
Cap
it.
And Hoodie were.
Yeah. They should be
I
in.
Mean, yeah. You want to get back in the good graces of everybody?
Yeah.
Go out and do that. You feel like your rebuild's going in a good place by the end of the year? Go out and add him. I mean, he is just dumb. You know, you wonder if he can stay healthy for a full year, too. He's had some issues with that, but he is just an absolute
Can I
monster.
Celebrate the kid, too, coming
but
up?
Doing that, yeah. Who? Which kid?
From the last night at the Cubs game.
All right.
I mean, that was a moment, Carl.
The home run?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, let's tell
that. That was a moment.
All right, you celebrate
Can I have
that
a moment?
Yes, we'll give you a moment. Your team stinks. Boy, the Pirates.
I know, they're coming.
What?
They're coming.
Seven out.
And I'm going to give you more.
Losing today, seven out.
What did Theo say back in the day? The Cubs are coming fast, and the Cubs are coming hard.
What do you think of that, Chris?
Yeah. I'm sure Theo thought
I'm
that, yeah.
I'm sure he did. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Sylvie, clarify what you were just telling me in the break about Bogarts, because we were looking, you know, I thought Bogarts had signed an extension a couple of years ago, and he did.
You were right.
There's
he
an opt-out.
Okay. And ESPN had an article, my buddy Corey sent it to me.
Okay.
So Bogarts signed a six-year, $120 million deal in 2019. He can opt out of the deal at the end of this year, which he will, because it's $20 million per year. Mm-hmm. He can make more than that. Boston, knowing that in spring training, offered him a one-year extension onto that deal to try and lock him up on a new deal that would have been 4 years, $90 million, and he declined.
He turned it down.
So
that's why people think they might move off of Xander Bogarts, especially because they've been so bad. But like you said, now you got, if you're going to do that, you got to trade instead of just attacking the free agency market in the offseason where you maybe could have solved this problem.
Now you got to compete with other teams with the best prospect package, and then you're going to have to get rid of guys you may not want to get rid of when you could have just signed Carlos Correa to a short-term deal to begin with,
and then
or at least tried.
And then somebody's moving mid-season. Who's moving? I mean, he's a shortstop. Who's moving? Does he move? Does he play short? Does he go to third? And he has played a little third in his career. Does he go to third and Moncada goes to second?
Why not?
You have to trade Moncada in that deal. Can you imagine if you traded Moncada back to Boston?
Moncada shouldn't be untouchable, is he?
No, I wouldn't say he's untouchable at all. Not at all. I don't even know that that'd get that deal done if you're Boston, would it?
No. For straight up?
No way.
I don't think so.
I don't know that they have the prospect package anymore for that. And if you do, you're hitting it. You're getting into it when you didn't have to, and you could have addressed your problems in the offseason with free agency. All right, you give the kid. Who?
So Morrell came up. You know,
yeah, they Christopher Morrell, right?
They put Hayward on the IL with no designation either. And very interesting. So,
Cano, we were talking about this. They ate Cano's deal in New York.
Right.
Should the Cubs just do that
is
already?
Is Tom Ricketts, Steve Cohn?
No. All right, fair enough.
But it's already, you're paying him on the team or you're paying him off the team. Like, if it's better for your team to have him off the team, now, maybe they think he's really good at like bringing them along. They don't have they don't have to play him, and they can rotate him in the IL. I don't know.
All right.
Maybe they'll do that in the last year. But Morrell comes up, and everyone's talking about him, and this bat speed is like Javi-like. And a lot of people were upset that he didn't start yesterday. You know, you bring him up, give a little bump, get him in the start. So they're winning. They're beating Pittsburgh. They're just crushing Pittsburgh these days after losing
awful.
A series.
They're awful.
They lost a series early. And then since the 21-0 game, it seems like they've been dominating them. Wilson Contreras had his night the night before. Yesterday, they jump out to this lead. And Morel comes up, and he falls behind 0-2. Wrigley is like maybe a third full. Maybe a half full. Like 33% to 50% full. But the people who were there were into it. He falls behind 0-2, and he chases one out of the dirt. And the next pitch he takes, high fastball, then kind of one of those sliders in the dirt that he could takes that too. Ball three was a non-competitive pitch. The crowd rises like we're somehow in some big game down the stretch in September. And it was like for people who rip Cubs fans, they don't know anything because these Cubs fans were into this. They knew it was the kid's first at bat. The game had already been won, but they wanted to see what the kid could do. Everyone rises, including the Cubs players. And, man, did you see where he hit it?
Yeah, he got onto Waveland.
Onto Waveland.
He crushed it.
He almost missed first. He did over first. He had to double back. But it was a nice moment and an energy-filled moment. He celebrated the you-know-what out of it.
Yes, he did.
But I'm cool with it because, if anything, this team can use some fun and some energy. Because it's been, you know, they can be a boring team.
Plus, he's a good story. You know, and I guess he called it beforehand. Did I read that? He told Contreras he was going to hit one out.
Oh, did he say that? Yeah.
I read this morning that he told
Contreras,
because he knows Contreras pretty well from, you know, just from spring training and stuff like that. And he told him he was going to hit it out. And I guess Contreras is the last Cub, which it was a little surprising, maybe back in 2016,
right,
to hit a home run
against
the Pirates in his first at bat. So he told Contreras, I'm going to homer if I get an at-bat. That's why Contreras went so nuts.
Handing the baton. And, like, I think Contreras, if you've been watching Cubs baseball this year, is trying to take on this new leadership role where he's really helping the kids. Because, look, with this imposing free agency deal, if he's not only good on the field but good with the kids,
sure,
maybe they eventually do give him an offer.
Did you hear me say it before? The Pirates, in their last six games, have 4 runs.
Including they won a game where they were no hit.
So they got no hit. They have 4 runs in their last six games. They have 24 hits.
You know, I went to college with their manager.
24.
I used to do play-by-play of Derek Shelton's games at Southern.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I don't think I did know that.
We went to we overlapped 3 years at SIU. He's from Gurnee.
He's got no shot.
He's got no shot to make it. No shot.
He's
the guy before whoever's taken over.
He's got no shot. All right, we'll crosstalk with Hoodie and Yerk. That's the Waddle and Sylvie show today. As spring trading continues every Wednesday in May here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So we'll have some fun with the guys coming up next. And the final word, as always, is brought to you by Wendy's.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Barry in the South Loop. What's up, Barry?
Hey, so let me just say this. You want to come after somebody? Come after me, because I'm a man.
I'm a man. I'm Ford.
Jeff's in the city. What's up, Jeff?
As he said what he said, he's saying what a lot of our fans are saying. TA7 needs to be TA7 instead of E6.